Greetings, welcome back to the Airwaves. Frequency Rebels, you're tuned into Static Between Worlds.
That's right.
We're broadcasting live from our humble studio tucked away in Nocturne Eternus tonight.
Yeah, just got back from the Tea Room of Solace. Have to say, the dimensional stability there, top notch this cycle.
It really was, a nice change.
Definitely.
Yeah.
The weather out here, though, perpetually twilight. You know how it is.
Always.
Thick with that smell, petrichor and ancient stone, and the emotions. Wow. Literally crystallizing.
You can almost hear them, right? Little chimes of joy, that deep hum of solidified sorrow.
Exactly. Honestly, it's a perfect night for digging into some critical intel, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And tonight we are peeling back the layers, really getting into a truly bizarre situation out at the edge.
Oh yeah, the edge.
A place where reality is, let's be honest, often just a suggestion, always shifting.
Barely holding together sometimes.
Our mission for you tonight, listener, is a deep dive. We're looking at The Effergent, season 01, episode 09.
A crucial one.
It really was an event our field agent, Pixel Paradox, had to navigate.
Along with A1, our quantum assistant.
And, can't forget him, our resident informant, Clive Stapler, the whole team.
Is that right? Stapler in hand.
They had to unravel this whole thing. Hmm. So, get ready. This is some deep anti-corporate intel.
Mm.
Because what happened out there, it shows just how fragile things are.
Mm.
Especially when unchecked phenomena start composing actual death symphony.
Death symphonies. Yeah, that's about right. And the edge. You've heard us mention it before on Static Between Worlds, but let me try and paint a picture. It's vital context here.
Go for it.
Okay, so imagine it's not dark, not light. It's this wild, shifting kaleidoscope. Impossible colors, just swirling, never quite settling.
Like a broken TV screen the size of a nebula.
Exactly. Like a nebula had a baby with a glitching arcade game, and that baby is just screaming in Technicolor. Constantly.
What?
Every horizon ripples. Your breath tastes like compressed probability. Strange, I know.
No, I get it. Compressed probability. That tracks for the edge.
And the air itself just vibrates. You feel ghosts of timelines that just fizzled out. Never quite happened.
Yeah.
The place where even your best phase shifters, the tech you rely on to keep yourself aligned, they're screaming just to keep up. It's pure chaos.
Pure unadulterated chaos. And into that chaos, this sound emerged.
Yeah.
But like you said, not just noise. It felt like everything.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Every collapsing micro-reality, every tiny dimension just winking out of existence.
Each one singing its last note.
Exactly. Each one had its own resonant frequency, its own final desperate sound. And something or someone was weaving these dying notes together.
Making an orchestra out of oblivion.
Into this monstrous, beautiful, terrifying orchestral piece. Like 1,000 different orchestras playing 1,000 funeral dirges all at once.
But somehow coherent. That's the creepy part.
Right. Coherent but deafening. Pixel said their senses felt like they were being pulled apart, stretched thin across all those dying frequencies.
Horrifying. And this cacophony wasn't just disorienting. It was speeding up the collapse.
Making things worse.
And it was messing with A1 big time.
Yeah.
Hindering diagnostics.
Even A1, our unflappable quantum espresso machine.
Even A1. Usually so calm, processing everything, right? Its holographic projection was fracturing, shimmering, like heat haze off tarmac.
Not good.
It called the sound a bloody cacophony. Said the harmonic distortions were quite aggressive. That's A1 showing distress.
Wow. Aggressive harmonic?
Its diagnostics were barely holding. It tried creating counter frequencies, you know, to stabilize things.
Yeah.
Just bop, like soap bubbles, gone. The sheer noise, the volume of realities collapsing, just too much interference.
So it couldn't get a read.
Needed a stable point, a reference, what it called a null zone.
A null zone, okay. And this is where it gets weird, or weirder.
This is where Clive Stapler steps in, our resident sentient office supply.
With, I gotta say, a completely unexpected intervention, Pixel actually called him a beautiful bureaucratic genius.
High praise from Pixel, especially for Clive.
Right, because think about it. Cosmic problem, reality unraveling. And the solution involves a stapler.
Seems ridiculous, but that's the thing.
Explain.
Well, Clive was just doing his thing. You know, there's a rhythmic stapling, that metallic click, click, hitting his little notepad.
Okay, standard Clive.
But in the middle of this cosmic sonic nightmare, that simple repetitive sound, it created this tiny consistent pocket, a stable vibration.
Amidst all the chaos.
Exactly, a beacon of the utterly unremarkable, mundane even. And it cut right through the noise.
Ah.
A1's projection, which was flickering like crazy, it just pivoted, snapped focus onto those clicks.
No way.
Pixel said A1 sounded genuinely surprised, which is rare. It said, "Remarkable. A localized harmonic anchor. Its simplicity provides an invaluable baseline."
Simplicity. The key was simplicity.
Isn't that something? Overwhelming complexity, cosmic chaos. No. And the anchor point is just a steady, boring rhythm.
It makes a weird kind of sense, a baseline.
Right. And with Clive's steady beat providing that stability, A1's visuals started clearing up.
It could finally see.
The fractal noise, the stuff obscuring everything, it resolved. Started showing the underlying structure.
So what was it?
A1 confirmed the dominant destructive harmonics. They were centered on frequencies linked to temporal desynchronization.
Things falling out of time.
Yeah, and spatial entropy. Things falling apart. Literally. These dimensions were losing coherence, unraveling.
And the sound was just the noise of that happening.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And the conductor, it wasn't some malicious composer.
Yeah.
A1 identified it as a nexus. An iridescent tuning fork, it called it.
A tuning fork.
Yeah, just passively resonating, vibrating with the natural decay of these dimensions and amplifying it, making it louder, faster.
A cosmic feedback loop. Wow.
And Clive, of course, had the perfect cynical take.
Oh, I bet. What do you say?
Something like, "Corporate's got nothing on this kind of churn. At least they pretend to offer a severance package."
Classic Clive. But he's right. It was pure feedback. And dangerous.
Totally. It was threatening to spill over, unravel more stable places. We were getting reports of temporal jitters in Cogsworth.
The Clockwork City. Not good.
And chlorophyll drift in Verdantia. Plants literally changing color randomly.
So the symphony's effects were spreading.
Like ripples.
Yeah.
Or maybe like a virus in the system. Which, you know, sounds suspiciously like Corporate Core's usual mess.
Doesn't it just... Okay, so the problem's identified. It's amplifying decay. It's spreading. How do you stop a cosmic death symphony?
Without unplugging the universe, yeah.
Right. Pixel had an idea.
A really audacious one. Introduce a different frequency. A harmonizing one.
Fight sound with sound.
Kind of. A1 was skeptical. Called it highly improbable. Huge energy needs. Big risks.
Like causing an unintended dimensional cascade. Yeah, that sounds bad.
Right, very bad. But Pixel, she pushed forward. A1 was running calculations like mad.
Thanks, Clive.
Still stabling. That unwavering rhythm. The anchor.
Okay, so what did Pixel use?
A device called a multiphasic resonance modulator. And she infused it with CLX.
CLX, crystallized laughter.
That's the one. Pure, distilled joy energy. Happy memories condensed.
So using positive emotion against cosmic decay.
Basically. Clive, ever the pragmatist, muttered it felt like emotional capital being liquidated to cover cosmic losses.
He's not wrong. Merging joy with the whispers of dying dimensions.
It was a total long shot. A lullaby for a collapsing universe, essentially. Using emotion as a weapon, or maybe a balm.
Incredible. Okay, so the implementation must have been tense.
Beyond tense. The symphony got louder at first.
Right.
Like it was fighting back.
Oh, man.
Reality stress fractures flared up all over the edge. The air just screamed. Felt like it was all going to break.
But it didn't.
Then, as the CLX frequency spread out, a new sound. Low hum. A counter melody.
Did it silence the symphony?
No, that's the fascinating part. It didn't silence it. Mm. It absorbed it, recontextualized it.
Like tuning it.
Exactly. The sharp tearing sound softened. The harsh notes got more fluid.
Right.
Less destructive.
So the symphony changed.
It shifted. Didn't stop. These dimensions were still dying. That's their nature.
Yeah.
Ontologically impossible to just stop it. But the destructive parts, the amplification, absorbed, transformed from a death rattle into, A1 called it, a melancholic yet stable lament.
A lament. Wow. Still sad, but not tearing everything apart.
Exactly. Stress fractures started healing. The crazy colors of the edge seemed less aggressive. Still chaotic, but contained.
So, the fix.
Well, Clive called it another Band-Aid solution. A temporary fix until the next restructuring hits.
Cynical, but maybe accurate.
Probably. But still, it showed incredible resilience. And the power of weird solutions. You don't always have to destroy something to fix it, right? Sometimes you transform it.
A really profound point, actually. And of course, Corporate Core, A1 saw connection.
Couldn't help it. With its databases. It figured this whole thing, the tuning fork amplifying decay, it could easily be fallout from some botched corporate initiative.
Like what?
Like a dimensional recycling initiative gone wrong, or maybe an ontological waste management program that spiraled out of control.
That's exactly like something they'd do and mess up.
They have a terrible history with downstream effects. Remember the crystallized laughter incident?
Oh, God, yeah. All reverted to unstable gas. laughing gas epidemic across three dimensions.
The telepathic house plants were furious. Apparently, they still hold a grudge.
I don't blame them.
And Clive, he smelled legacy tech. Old core stuff.
Left to rot somewhere.
Yeah. Left to rot in the cosmic junk heap, he said. Probably got a serial number on it somewhere under all the dust.
Classic corporate core efficiency. Build it, use it, abandon it, let it break reality later.
Pretty much. Even when it's not deliberate malice, their disregard for consequences, it can unravel everything. Or turn decay into a weaponized symphony.
It's a powerful metaphor, isn't it, for how things work even in our realities sometimes, ignoring the side effects.
Until they're screaming in your face.
Exactly. This whole incident at the edge is such a stark reminder. You can't just turn off decay. It's natural.
And you definitely shouldn't amplify it for profit or efficiency.
The balance is way more delicate, more complex than any quarterly report could ever show. Makes you think.
It really does. Well, that wraps up our deep dive into the Effergent. Season 01, Episode 09. Some heavy stuff there.
Definitely heavy, but critical.
We'll be back next cycle on Static Between Worlds, maybe looking ahead, see what absurdity the team faces next season.
Yeah. Will corporate core ever face actual consequences? Will Clive find that unionized paperclip he keeps talking about?
We can only hope. Stay tuned for that.
And a huge shout out, as always, to all of you listening in, tapping into our encrypted quantum frequencies.
Seriously, your support keeps Static Between Worlds broadcasting. Keeps us digging for the truths corporate core wants buried.
So thank you. And we leave you, as always, with a thought to mull over.
Yeah.
In a multiverse where even dying realities can make music, a lament. What does that say about the music we choose to make? The rhythms we set in our own lives, our own corners of existence?
Something to chew on. Until next time, Frequency Rebels, remember.
Stay static. Stay free.